Men, I want your attention for a second. My name is Jonathan Daugherty. I'm the host of Pure Sex Radio, and I want to tell you about our Gateway to Freedom workshop. Guys, this is a 3-day intensive workshop, and it's specifically designed for men who are struggling with secret sexual sin. This workshop is designed to help you get your life back. It's designed to help you overcome those temptations, to be able to live a life of purity from this day forward. You can't afford to miss it, guys. If you will go to gatewaymen.com, you can learn all about this powerful 3-day workshop. The next workshop is coming up March 13th through the 15th in South Texas. You can call us at 1-800-49-PURITY or go online to gatewaymen.com.
Good day, radio listeners. It's time for Pure Sex Radio. This is the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles and learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction. And get serious about purity. Your hosts are Jonathan Daugherty, director of Be Broken Ministries, and Steven Cervantes, founder of Hope Counseling Center. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. It's so glad to we're so glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan, and I'm sitting here with Steven. How you doing, Steven?
Good.
Before we get started this week, I just you know that I like to give these reminders every now and then that we are a listener-supported radio station, a radio broadcast, and we just cannot do what we do without your help. Certainly, we first and foremost would like your prayers. We have been getting responses in the last few years that we've been doing this broadcast. We get responses from people all over the world saying that they have been impacted, that they've been listening regularly to the broadcast. They've been getting educated. They've been getting free from their bondage to sexual sin. And this really encourages us. And we want to pass that information along to you listeners and ask you to come alongside of us and be a partner with us in this outreach. If you'd like to learn about the ways that you can partner with us and support us, simply go to our website at puresexradio.com, and right there on the homepage, there's a link that says Make a Donation. That will actually tell you all of the different ways in which you can support this outreach. So we want to make that available to you. Well, we're going to dive in this week. This is going to be a very, how would you put it, Stephen, free-flowing broadcast. We're going to be talking about what happens for those who are struggling with any sort of sexual sin, whether it be pornography or affairs or just even maybe the spouse of somebody who's struggling. What happens when you go to a counselor? Maybe what should happen when you go to a counselor? Is that a good way to describe it, Stephen?
Well, actually, that's close. And I was going to say, let's let them peek in on us. If you and I are going to have a discussion like somebody just walked in, and what would we say in our first session? And what would we say in our second session? And what would we say in our third session? I think a lot of people are interested in counseling. Some know it because they've tried it. Others don't have a clue about. You know, I had a guy walk in and say, I never been here. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. Like you're supposed to act a certain way, or what are you supposed to do and not do? And it's like, hey, we just talk. That's all we do. But he didn't know that. You know, he thought maybe, neater, something weird and spooky. No, people just talk. But maybe if we let them peek in, it'd be helpful.
That'd be great. So pretend, listeners, that you are behind the glass right now, and we are going to kind of have a little counseling session or have several sessions here. And then you get to see.
Hey, maybe I could role play. I'm sorry, finish. I got excited and interrupted. Finish.
If it's role playing, then you have to be the counselor.
You can start and then hand it back to me.
Okay.
But I'll just tell you how the presentation looks.
Because, and also realize, listener, what we're doing is We are just showing you how we would respond
right,
to
that's
someone.
Correct.
You know, you mentioned, Stephen, that there have been people that have come in, I don't know what to do, or they've had experience with counseling. Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we've also had a lot of people contact our ministry who've had experience with counseling, and it was a bad experience. They had experience with somebody who didn't have a clue about sexual addiction, didn't have a clue about biblical sexuality, and so they got steered wrong.
Yeah,
and so we want to also try to help you understand, okay, what are maybe some healthier, more productive ways to deal with this counseling environment?
You know, it might be interesting one day to actually do on an audio series of 8 counseling sessions that somebody could buy, and we're gonna be your counselor, you know, on tape or on CD or something, just to brainstorm here. So I walk into your office, Jonathan, and here's my presentation. You know, I can't believe what I just did. I don't get it. This is not like me at all. I'm just getting worse. And you know, I used to do stuff like just watch the internet and some porn on the internet. But I got to tell you what happened. I met a girl in a hotel. It's not like me. I don't usually do that. I don't know what's happening, but I have to get help because I'm not doing very well.
Well, why don't you tell me where this all started?
So one, you're going to get a history.
So one, I want to start getting history. I want to start going back. It's important, I think, to, and also I want to make sure our listeners know we're not trying to give you instruction on how you are to be a counselor. I mean, this may be helpful. If we have counselors listening, we hope this will help you in your practice. But I think one of the things that's important to realize is it is important to begin to start working backwards.
Yes, and this is what I would say to that person. I would say, are you sure about what you just said? Are you really surprised at yourself? Do you really not know how you got here? Because if you think about it, you know exactly how you got here. It's hard to say to me, and I guess you want me to make it easy or something, but let's be honest. I think you know how you got here. You started a long time ago with a little, and then you did more and more and more. And you tried to stop, but you didn't really stop yourself. So let's just agree that one thing we know about you is you're good at getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd probably nod. Yeah. And then I would go on and say, I got to tell you, this battling sexuality is pretty normal. I think most guys carry a sense of managing sexuality is difficult. But you don't have to be stupid with your sexuality. But yes, it's hard to carry. And so the fact that you have a battle, welcome to manhood.
And that's exactly what I would say to him. One of the things that I try to let guys know is that, listen, while you are unique in who you are, this thing you are battling is not. It's very common among men. It's very common among humanity to have this struggle, to have this ongoing battle inwardly that you wonder how you can possibly share it with somebody else because it's such a strong, powerful thing and there's so much shame associated with it. And so it's common what you are struggling with. And a lot of times, there will be a sense of relief.
Yes.
There's a sense of relief. And because a lot of times when they step into that office, they go, I am absolutely certain I'm the only person who's ever stepped into this office with these thoughts, these behaviors, these struggles.
And I'm horrible and terrible and bad, and you're going to tell me that. But if you can say, look, every man is carrying his sexuality and doing the best he can with it in a very sick culture at a difficult time. But we got to be honest, you've been getting worse, and you know that. And then I would say to him, you know what I think you're doing now is I think you're sick and tired of this. And I think you've decided that it's time to tell the truth. And you better tell somebody that you're getting worse and it's getting out of control. And you don't want to carry a secret anymore. It's time to talk it out. It's time to talk it through. It's time to share with the brother.
And that, to me, is the key transition point in the first session. The first session, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here, Stephen, but I think the first session, it's very, very important to get the client talking, to get them to start opening up about their history, about their story. In fact, just getting them to tell their story is often a huge
healing. Part
it's of a healing, huge yeah. part of that, because they probably, I've met plenty of guys, and I know you have too, that when they tell us their story, that's the first time they've ever told anyone the whole story. You know,
yeah, and that's the first time they've thought it through also yeah. and put the pieces together and said, no, I didn't stop myself at that point. I went on and I got worse, and I didn't stop myself after I got worse. I played with that. Oh, and then, you know, and they just moved from one behavior to the next behavior to the next behavior.
Well, the reason I think it's important in that first session to get the story told is because it shows them that they can tell their story and not spontaneously combust.
Yes.
You know, when the story is over and your eyes haven't rolled back in your head and you haven't fallen off of your chair,
right,
then they feel safe. They feel like, okay, there is at least one place on the planet where I can be honest.
And actually, and we're just laying out pieces of this. But the way I would see the first session is, I want it, about a third of it, I want you to tell me some of your story, because your story is going to play out over time. But a third of what I want to do is let you talk and just throw up on me about how bad it is. And then I want to, with a third of it, give you a sense that part of you is normal and a part of you is just getting worse and out of control. And then the last third I want to talk about, let's brainstorm a little bit of something you could do this week.
Mm-hmm. And some of that, don't you think some of the homework, so to speak, is going to be channeled based on much of what they say? Let me give you an example. For example, if I have a guy come in and he says that he is spending upwards of 3 to 4 hours a day looking at internet porn. Right. Well, you know what? One of the first homework assignments I'm going to give him is, you know, we got to put some boundaries on the internet. So there's some practical aspect to the homework.
Yes. And so that's great wording. Here's my wording. I want you to stop getting worse, because one thing you admitted to me today is you know how to get worse. And part of your healing comes in stop getting worse. And that's what you're talking about. So let's take some small steps this week to get some victory where you're going to stop getting worse. And the second thing I'm going to ask you to do is recognize that you do behaviors, but that your fantasies are also how you feed this growing part of yourself. And so I want you to practice some thought stopping, where you interrupt your thought, where you tell yourself to stop. You tell yourself that's not healthy. You tell yourself you're fantasizing, where you bring your thoughts, you know, small steps forward. So as you said, stop getting worse. Do something to put up a boundary, and then start to manage just this week in a little way some thoughts.
And that's the key, is coming out of the first session, usually a person is completely exhausted. And so the more the homework can be, I've always thought the more the homework can be specific, even if it's broad, for instance, like stop getting worse. Well, that's a broad statement. There can be something specific within that, such as, here's a specific boundary based on your story that you need to apply this week, and here's a specific task that you need to do, such as thought stopping. You know, those are the things that you need to focus on this week. Because quite honestly, Stephen, there can be a real temptation for counselors, because maybe we know the whole gamut of everything that's
right,
going to take
yeah.
to recover, to just throw the book at, you know, just throw all this stuff at them, and then they just get overwhelmed. We may never see them again.
Yes. So then let's go to the second session, because he walks in and he's a little perkier, and he's told his story, and somebody else knows. He's widening the circle to include more people, the counselor, and maybe he told his pastor or friend, and there's a sense of a little hope, and it's different hope. Not, I can do it, just do it, just knuckle down, you can do it. No, it's a sense that the secret is getting out, and hope is rising, and is there a heck of a mountain to climb? You betcha.
Yeah.
But there's some sense of hope. So then I might talk to him about the whole idea of how he was really designed, that he was designed by God for sexual purity and innocence, and there's tremendous freedom in that, but that we've gone off on our own, and we came up with our own plan, what we thought really living was. And so, you know, what the challenge is to to move back towards God's plan and loosen our grip on our own plan.
Yeah, and one of the ways I really encourage guys to think about this is the fact that everything about the addictive behavior, and even all the way back to the addictive thoughts, everything about that is based on falsehoods. So I using the second session, I really start diving into the idea that what your behaviors have represented is that you are believing lies. And so kind of painting the picture for them that there's an unraveling that has to take place within them because they've been bound up in all of these lies. And so the lies have to get unraveled and then have to be replaced with the truth. And so there's this concept that I'm trying to get into their mind, very much similar to what you're talking about the fact that there's this truth about them that they were designed by God to live a life of purity. But all these lies have created a lot of confusion and a lot of problems and a lot of mess because that's where the tension comes in their life, that they wonder, why am I so uncomfortable when everything about all this addictive stuff promises so much? It promises that it's going to fulfill, and yet it doesn't. Well, that's the lie. And so I try to start getting them to see things in a little bit more of a black and white perspective, because you know it, Stephen, when a person's gotten deeply involved in sexual addiction, everything's gray at best. Their whole life in terms of how they make decisions about
it's blurred, it's unclear.
It's all a cloud, yeah, it's all a big mess. And so what I try to do in terms of like kind of parting that cloud is say, listen, there is a side over here that's all black and there's a side over here that's all white, and part of this journey is going to be able to make the distinction between those and then start to replace the black with the white, so to speak.
Okay. Now I do two other things, and they sound like they're opposite, but you really get to pick which one you want, because I think that we have to recognize that we have been feeding, the beast within, if you will, or the dragon or the rebel, that we've been feeding this part of ourself and getting worse, and we have this like sumo wrestler, big, bulky, fat, sort of dumba part that will just take over the system anytime it wants. And there's a part of us that's out of control, and that you have to put that part of you on a diet and stop feeding it and get it back into healthy sexuality. So sometimes I use that because we know that inside us, you remember the picture of the angel on one side and the devil on the other side, that on the inside it's not just like all clean or all dirty. It's like we're like divided into pieces inside, and there's a rebellious part of us. And so on one hand, we talk about it as the beast or the rebel. But then I'm going to give you another way to think about it, and they pick the way they want to think about this. Because I think it's very healthy to think of ourselves as parts. My spiritual part, my motherhood, fatherhood, my being a child with my parents' part, you know. But they're in our sexual part. And so sometimes I say to the person, I think your sexual, adolescent, rebellious part is big, and we got to get that part under control, managed to respond to the adult part of you. And you know, when people think, why is he talking about some parts? Well, what we're talked about in the Bible is mind and body and soul and spirit and flesh and prideful. These are all parts. If your pride part comes out, you want what you want. So think about yourself also that way too, as having a sexual part and it being out of control.
Yeah, and I think what we start seeing a lot of times is when people are getting into this second session and starting to hear some of this stuff. Tell me, Stephen, do you get a lot of nodding? There's a lot of nodding that starts going on.
Yes.
Because while it makes sense to the client, they've never heard it said maybe in that way. When you're talking about the beast and you're talking about the parts, it's like, oh yeah, you know, but I've never heard it articulated in that way, but that really connects. That makes sense because, yeah, sometimes I feel like there's just this, 600-pound gorilla that's sitting on me, and I have no choice, and
yeah,
is powerful,
good.
And so I think it's empowering to them to be able to see that gorilla does not have to continue controlling your life. you can tell that gorilla to go sit in the corner and starve itself to death, you know? And so there's power in them being able to know, I have choice in this. I have the decision-making ability. It's a matter of improving and strengthening those skills, because those skills have been completely absent for however long their addiction has been growing. And so some of it is an educational process, but some of it is just the I can do it aspect. The idea that you're telling this person that, hey, listen, what you're desiring of truly being pure is an actual possibility. And I think that second session is when it really starts kicking in. The first session is more about, let's uncover your story, let's talk about the fact that your junk is real, and let's start moving in the right direction. That second session, where they've maybe seen some evidence of whatever boundaries, whatever they did in their homework, it actually working, then they come back with a little tiny spark of hope, and then you can start really fanning that flame of hope to where they can say, yeah, this is possible, I can really do this. And I think that's really empowering to the person who's been struggling for a long time with sexual sin.
So then the homework for the second session might be something like this. You got to find a group, okay? I want you to start calling around, call the big churches, get on the internet, start asking, you know, pastors, ask around, find out where this group of men working on sexual purity. And then number two, I would tell you, I want you to read 4 books on sexual purity this year. 4 books? I don't read. I haven't read since I got out of high school. Well, good. We can tell you're stuck, okay? And so you want to be stuck, don't get new information. You want to grow, get new information. So go on a mission to find a book on sexual purity and start reading it. And read that one, and then because it's the problem and you're going to work on it for a year. You're going to work on this for a year.
You're terrible, man.
then get your book and read it and highlight it. And maybe your group is reading a book. That'd be one to go. When you find a group, you might find a book. But get your own book that you're going to find, that you're going to read, that you're going to carry, that you're going to show your wife, I'm doing something different.
You know, it sounds like you've done this before. You've heard a few of the excuses, a few of the responses. All right, session number 3. What are we going to do in session 3?
Number 3, I think we're going to talk about, you know, starting to pull ourselves together instead of being so divided and confused. But we have a 1-year strategy, and that we're not in a hurry. We're going to talk about that. And then really the session is going to be about shame, mm-hmm. and how you have to stop the internal dialogue of shame.
Yeah, and shame is essentially, one way you can think of shame is self-loathing. It's really learning how to destroy yourself with hateful dialogue, with dialogue that demeans your value as a human being, as a person made in the image of God. And so certainly any addiction, especially as it pertains to sexual addiction, is going to bring a lot of shame into that person's life. And so we want to really make sure that the struggler knows that they don't have to live with that shame the rest of their lives. Not only as behaviors get cleaned up, as patterns of decision-making and patterns of life and relationships change, they can even be freed on the inside. They can be free from that internal agony of self-hatred and self-loathing. And that, to me, is when I believe real freedom begins in the recovery process. You know what? Behaviors cleaning up, I'm kind of like, big deal. I mean, that's good and all. But when a person starts experiencing that internal peace, that contentment, that joy, that love for the way God made them, for the value that they have before their Creator, I think that's when you really start seeing real recovery happen.
Good. And so your homework then is, I want you to find 3 people for accountability. Maybe somebody in group, or your group leader, a group person, somebody at church, a staff member or something, or in an older gentleman in the church that you know that is honest about this struggle. And you're going to ask those 3 guys to check in with you every week. Once a week, 3 guys are going to call you. And then I want you to develop 3 questions that you want them to ask you. They won't know what to ask you. You have to help them know what to ask you. And men are nice and respectful. They won't press in where they're not invited. So you must invite them in by giving them the very questions you want them to ask. An example would be, have you done anything inappropriate on the internet? Now, that could have been email, chat, porn, whatever you've been, if that's an issue, or have you purchased any inappropriate material? Or a question would be, have you entertained fantasy thoughts this week? Not did they start, but did you play with them this week? Because they pop in your head, you do thought stopping, and you move them. So, you know, did you entertain any thoughts, play with them, not move them along? Those are the kind of questions, the ones you really haven't wanted anyone to ask you. You have to write them down and give those three to your brothers so they can ask you.
Excellent. Well, folks, we are, again, we want to make sure you know we're here to help you. And if you are needing to get plugged in with a counselor who can help you with your sexual struggles, we want to help you put you in touch with a counselor in your local area. Feel free to give us a call or email us. Our job is to help you live a life of purity. We're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here again next week when we come at you again with the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Today's Purity Pointer, making a point that makes a difference. Brought to you by Pure Sex Radio.
Visit a counselor. We all need good counsel. No one lives life perfectly or without the need for help. If you are engaging in behaviors that are compulsive, unhealthy, and sinful, you could benefit from seeing a qualified counselor. Many counselors have been trained to know what questions to ask to help you get to the root of your struggles and formulate a plan for living a whole new life of purity. Push past your fears and reach out for help. Go visit a counselor soon.
Purity Pointer is a service of Pure Sex Radio. Listen to more Purity Pointers at puresexradio.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial contributions of listeners like you. Please send your notes and donations to Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Again, the mailing address is 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 415, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. You may also reach us by phone toll-free at 1-800-49-PURITY. Our toll-free number again is 1-800-497-8748. Our website is a great resource for archived broadcasts, helpful resources, and secure donations. Simply visit www.puresexradio.com for more information. That wraps up our time together on this week's Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We look forward to having you back next time when we again tackle real-life struggles with lust, porn, and sex addiction. Until then, remember, the price you pay today for purity is a bargain compared to the pain it costs if you put it off. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries.